One more time, happy Father's Day. Let's give a big hand to all of the dads that are here today. Happy, happy Father's Day, men. Both here in this worship center, also in the chapel, we just wish you the very best. Thank you for your faithfulness to your family. And just know that God is with you, God is for you, He walks beside you, He lives in you, He gives you the strength and the power to be the man that God has called you to be. In fact, I'd like to pray a prayer of blessing over all of our dads before we dive into the scripture here today. Would you join me? Lord, we thank you for each and every dad that's here today. God, we know that the mantle upon each dad is an important one. And there are challenges and there are difficulties that fall on all of us, but, you know, dads have that as well. And God, there might be one or two here today that's kind of feeling a little extra pressure. I pray, God, your blessing, your strength, your encouragement on them. God, meet each and every need financially, mentally, physically, spiritually, relationally. God, I pray that you'll surround each and every dad with your presence. May your Holy Spirit flow and flourish in each man. And God, may we be the men you've called us to be. May we live, love, lead like Jesus and honor you in all things. And we pray this prayer of blessing over all of our dads in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you, dads. We're in a series on what the world needs, and in some ways, to kind of blend it in together with Father's Day, when you think of the five character traits that we're talking about during this series, you really see it in the father heart of God. A couple weeks ago, we talked about compassion. We serve a God who is compassionate and kind. Amen. Last week, we talked about empathy. We serve a God who is empathetic and understanding. Are you grateful for his empathy? Today we're going to talk about justice. Our God is just. We're going to talk next week about mercy. We have a merciful, forgiving, loving Father. And then finally we're going to talk about being humble. He is always thinking about us. And when I think of those five character traits, I think, wow, that describes the Father heart of God. You know, that's the heart that I want to have. That's the heart that you want to have. And as we walk our way through this message here today, I want to invite you to turn with me to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It's a profound, profound scripture that basically says, this is what the Lord requires of you. What does the Lord require of you, O man? It's to act justly, it's to love mercy, and it's to walk humbly. It's to act justly, it's to love mercy and to walk humbly. Just think of those three words for a moment. What does the Lord require of you? Micah's message to the Israelites here in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, was that the Israelites weren't doing any of these things. They were missing God's requirement. They were way out of line. They were off base in all three areas. And Micah called them on it. He says, you are not acting justly. You are not loving mercy, and you are not walking humbly. And as a result, the Assyrians are going to attack you in 722 BC, and a little bit later in 586 BC, the Babylonians are going to besiege you, and God is going to use the Assyrians and the Babylonians as tools, instruments of his judgment. You guys have ignored the Lord. You Israelites have run from the precepts of God. And you have not acted justly, you have not loved mercy, and you have not walked humbly. Now, Micah says there is hope. Interwoven throughout this entire book, it's seven short chapters. I encourage you to read it here this week if you haven't for a while. Woven through this incredible book is a reminder that there is repentance and forgiveness. We can be reconciled to God. If we start acting justly, if we start loving mercy, and if we start walking humbly. In fact, at the very tail end of this short but powerful book, Micah says in Micah 7, verses 18, 19, and 20, who is God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of the inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be true to Jacob and show mercy to Abraham as you pledged an oath to our fathers long ago. Micah says there's hope, there's hope, there's always hope in God. But we need to turn back to God. He's challenging the Israelites to get their act together and to turn back to God. And this part at the end, and show mercy to Abraham. We're reminded that we are a part of the Abrahamic covenant and blessing. In Galatians chapter 3, 29, it says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12 and 15 and 17 is a covenant of blessing. It's a covenant of hope. And Micah reminds the Israelites then, just like we're reminded now through the passage in Galatians, we are grafted in through Christ and part of the blessing that is to come. But we must be faithful. We must be obedient. We must do just what Micah said. We need to act justly. We need to love mercy. And we need to walk humbly with our God. What does it mean to act justly? Micah shines the spotlight on the Israelites, and he shows how they were taking advantage of the poor. They were exploiting, manipulating, and instead of caring for the needy, they were being greedy. They had oppressive land practices. They would take advantage of anybody and everybody they possibly could. They had dishonest weight scales, dishonest business practices, Micah tells us. They were acting out their covetousness, and in every way, at every turn, they were squeezing the poor. They were squeezing the disenfranchised. They were taking advantage of people that needed to be cared for. As we walk our way through this short book over these next 3 weeks, I want us to think about some personal applications. And today I want to share four. We're going to take a little extra time on the first one, and then we're going to fly through the last three. But I want you just to think about what Micah is saying here. What does injustice mean to you? What does injustice mean to you? What does that word mean? You know, we all have ideas that are conjured up, but what does it mean? That's what I want us to think about for a few moments. The first application is we need to realize injustice is not just about doing wrong. It's about not doing right. See, I don't think any of us would stand up and say, hey, I'm guilty of exploiting the poor. I don't think any of us would think that of ourselves or certainly not admit it if it were true. But that's probably not really true and not the case for most everybody here. And that's good that we're not doing that. But the question really is, what am I doing to care for the poor? See, injustice is not just not doing the wrong thing. It's starting to do the right thing. How do we care for the poor? That's what Micah's message was to the Israelites way back then. You know, don't do wrong, but start doing right. Somebody said that justice is defined by acting honorably. Acting, I like that because it's very simple and very clear. What does it mean to act honorably? What does it mean to act honorably? We do this in part by stopping wrong things like injustice, exploiting, manipulating, and by starting to do right things, you know, clothing the naked, feeding the poor, housing the unsheltered. We stop doing what Israel did by stealing land and padding our pockets and changing course and caring more than ever before about feeding the hungry and helping people without housing and clothing the naked. And how about this? Providing diapers for young moms who don't even have enough money to buy diapers for their kids. Take a moment right now and be honest with yourself, as I have been all week long with myself. You know, put the thermometer in your spirit and just take a thermometer reading. Do you care about the poor? And I know that if we were honest, some would say, no, not really. Others would say, yes, very much. I know what it feels like. I was there not too long ago, and probably everything in between. Do you care about the poor and the helpless? How much? Do you care as much as God cares? To not care is to be unjust, to be unloving, to be unkind, to be uncompassionate. Caring about injustice usually demands that we engage in the three ways that are the most difficult for us, the assets and the abilities that are most precious to us, giving of our time, giving of our energy, and giving of our money? Am I willing to give of those three to care for those in need? The beautiful thing, we as a church can do this together more than any church I know. We are able to respond to the needs of our community, to the poor, to the disenfranchised, to the hungry and the hurting, because we have long ago worked hard to build a compassion ministry. We now have our own building downtown. We have 30 ministries almost that flow out of that particular facility. We have a staff. We have an army of volunteers. Literally, the BCA Army is engaged and involved. And we've divided those 27 or 28 different ministries into the categories you see right here on the screen. There are multiple ministries that are a part of each of these buckets of ministry: the vulnerable, the hungry, the under-resourced, the homeless, the sick, the hurting. We can't talk about this enough. Why? Because this is on the heart of God. You study Micah, you study all the Old Testament, you study Jesus, you study all the New Testament. The poor, the hungry, the hurting, the disenfranchised, the needy matter to Jesus. They matter to God, and they must matter to us. John referenced it. We've been talking about it all month. We started our One Day's Wage campaign on June the 2nd, and we'll wrap it up at the end of June, and wherever we are, that's where we are, but we're hoping to raise $50,000 specifically to feed the hungry in our community. And we're very excited about the $40,000 that has already come in. John mentioned it. I'll just echo it. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your justice. Thank you for your love. It means a lot, and it's going to be a huge, huge blessing. It's going to matter to a lot of people. You know, the way this goes a lot of times is some people are able to do one day's wage. Some are able to do a little bit more. Some are able to do a little bit less. And I put this up on screen when we started our campaign on June the 2nd. You know, there might be someone that can give $10,000. There may be someone that can give $10. And usually that's kind of how it goes. People do what they can. And God has blessed some to do a little bit more. Now, I just want to encourage you, if you've already given, thank you. You've done your part. Appreciate it so much. But if you're kind of new to the game, we'd love to have you join us as we want to address the needs of people in our community. One of the things you do, you might be interested to kind of bring this full circle, is we have an Adopt a Family program where we meet with families, we give them training on finances and other things that they might need. We give them food, we work with them, try to help give them a hand up, not just a hand out. And we're looking forward, because of your generosity, to do that with more and more families. We have our summer bash coming up in August where we're going to be giving away 200 boxes of food. Usually we hand out a little bit. We're going to be able to do a whole lot more because of your generosity. We're going to be able to bless a lot of families. We have a program where we bless the block and we go house to house or apartment complex and door to apartment door, and we give groceries to those who need it. Families, single moms, and also in senior housing. And we're looking forward to doing a lot more of that. And because of your generosity, we will have more food to give away at the Compassion Center, because there's always urgent needs that come up where people run to the Compassion Center needing to find some food. There are other food banks in our community, but there's just not enough food. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for caring. It's been said that there are people in the world so hungry that God cannot appear to them except in the form of bread, writes Gandhi. Poverty is a very complicated issue, Jeff Bridges says, but feeding a child isn't. In other words, just do it. And Frank said, hunger is not a problem, it's an obscenity. How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world. How many Gospels are there in the New Testament? I'll give you a hint. On the count of three, say it with me. One, two, three. Matthew, say it together, Mark, Luke, and John. Isn't that beautiful? I had a little quiz here today. Which one of those Gospels is considered by many scholars the gospel to the poor? Anybody know? Those are all good guesses. But many will believe it's Luke. Maybe somebody said Luke and I didn't quite hear it. I heard Matthew, but Luke. You know, you read the Beatitudes, and Jesus will say, blessed are the poor in spirit. You read Luke, and it says, blessed are the poor. Period. You know, the Spirit is upon me to preach good news to the poor. Over and over again, in the Gospel of Luke, you see that profound emphasis being made that Jesus has a broken heart for the poor and the hungry. What's the scripture we looked at a couple of weeks ago? James 1:27. True religion and undefiled before the Father is this: to care for the orphan and the widow. To care for those that are least represented. To care for the least of these. Not less valuable, but maybe a little more vulnerable. The gospel to the poor. The second thought I want us to look at here today is what compels you and propels you to act honorably? What is it that drives you to do the honorable thing, the good thing, the godly thing? And one right answer would be, well, the commands of Christ and the needs of other people, and I would say a big amen to that. But I want you to think a little bit more deeply. I want to ask you to make today, Father's Day 2024, a seminal moment in your heart and mind where from this day forward, you think about the poor, maybe more passionately. You think about the needy, maybe more aggressively in wanting to help than ever before. And the word I want to give you is my word, and that is the word rescue. You know, the Bible says we are on a search and rescue mission. We are to go into the highways and byways and compel people to come in. We are to introduce people to faith, and we do that in a great variety of ways. All the ministries in our community, all the missions work around the world, we want to do everything we can to throw a lifeline. But you know, we need to do that practically and physically as well by addressing hunger, addressing needs for shelter and for clothing. And as Jesus says in Matthew 25, caring for the sick and visiting people in prison. I want to submit to you that rescue is a really important word. You say, well, Rob, I can't help everyone. Well, that's true. I can't do everything. Well, obviously that's true. But you know, that really misses the point. Because even though we can't do everything and we can't help everyone, we do need to do everything we can, and we must help everyone we can. And if our focus is on rescuing as many as we can, whoever we can, wherever we can, whenever we can, that's a better focus than saying, throw our hands up, well, I can't do it all, so therefore I'm not going to do anything, right? That doesn't make sense either. God wants us to believe for miracles of provision and help for those in need, but he also wants us to be a part of the miracle. And so we get involved in giving and praying and serving and using our gifts. Take a moment right now and just ask yourself to think really, really deeply about what it means to care for the poor, the hungry, the disenfranchised. What does it mean to live, love, and lead like Jesus? Maybe you heard the story, as I did here this past week, of an elderly man who lost control of his pickup and went over the side of a cliff into a ravine, rolled several times, ended up at the bottom, was still alive, but couldn't get out, couldn't get free. Had a couple dogs with them, and at least a couple of them were injured, but one was able to run 4 miles back to family, I'm not sure where that was, a campground or maybe the home, and bring help. And I thought to myself, that is a powerful application for me. Maybe not you, but for me. If a dog can rescue his owner, how much more do I need to rescue precious people? And how can I be active and engaged more than ever before? How can I lead our church? How can I lead my own life? How can I inspire myself, inspire others to do everything we possibly can to mount a search and rescue mission? To care for this child over here that doesn't have enough food, and that single mom that needs a little encouragement, and this senior adult who's barely scraping by, and this vet who's trying to make a life on next to nothing. How can we be on mission to search and rescue. And not just show up to church and hear a sermon, sing a few songs, and go our separate ways and say, that's it, that's all. But to truly engage. I think one of the reasons we lack justice is we lack passion. Listen, if one of your children or grandchildren are lost in the woods, you are going to be all in. If one of my kids or one of my grandkids, hopefully I would be that for anybody's kids, everybody, but you know, it just kind of heightens it when it's your own. You know what I mean? And you are going to be all in. You are going to be passionate. You are going to do everything you possibly can. You're going to search under every limb. You're going to search behind every log. You are going to look everywhere, and you will do it for as long as it takes. That's the kind of passion we need for brothers and sisters who are struggling, hurting. Do you know how much it matters to someone to know someone cares? We say it all the time. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People are inspired when someone cares. People are inspired by someone who reaches out. I want to thank you as a church family for being so faithful and so engaged in the many ministry outreaches of our church. We have another one coming up here in just a few weeks called our summer camp, kids camp, and there's going to be 300 kids. Many, if not most, are not from our church. And thank you for many of you that have already got involved and engaged and volunteered. We need about 20 more crew leaders. And it's going to be a banner week. I can't wait to see what God does. We've got a summer bash coming up in August where we're going to shower our community with food and blessing and build relationships and see who we might be able to help minister to. It's amazing what we can do together. It's amazing how we can act justly when we work together. I find it to be the most enjoyable, most inspiring to come together and work together and to advance God's mission. We also need to raise the bar, lift the standard, determine how we can be more just and honorable. You know, justice and mercy and humility, the three things that Mike is talking about here, have an outward application. We can tell a lot about our justice, our mercy, our humility by how we relate to others. It's internal for sure, but it's also external. We export it toward other people. Micah says to Israel, and to all of us, by the way, that to be honorable is to not be unjust, do unjust things, but also to strive to be more just than we ever have and to be a blessing to others. Compassion for the poor, the hungry, the homeless, the outcast, the jobless, the language constrained, the social skills challenged. How can we train, equip, come alongside precious people that just need a little encouragement and help? There's something missing in our society that's full of vitriol and venom and, you know, bad vibes and yelling and screaming and shoving and shouting. What's missing is compassion and empathy and kindness and goodness and justice and mercy. And humility. John Christie shared a couple stories from the Compassion Center. One was about a young woman who'd been clean and sober for 2 years. She just secured her first apartment but needed a little help. So she came into the BCC looking for help and soon was weeping in one of their offices. She had been told she would never ever make it on her own. But because she came by, we were able to help her. And she saw that as a gift from God, reminding her that God loved her, God cared for her, and that God had people around that wanted to walk with her. Another story of her single mom, a veteran, working full-time graveyard and going to school during the day. Raising a teen dollar without the support of a father, found herself in a hopeless situation. But we were able to help her and encourage her and let her know how much God loved her and loved her daughter. She too was moved to tears to see that somebody cared. I had one of our volunteers talk to me the other day and said, Rob, I'm so thankful that our church has the Bethany Compassion Center. In my retirement, I'm able to serve on a regular weekly basis. And it gives me an opportunity to be a blessing. I know I've been blessed to be a blessing, and it gives me an avenue to use my gifts and abilities to serve others. I can't thank you enough. Touched my heart. You know, as humans, we tend to be selfish. We tend to be carnal, don't we? Not pointing a finger at anyone, but all of us. That's kind of how we're wired. But over time, as we yield to Christ and we yield to His Holy Spirit, we get to bend. We begin to bend toward what it means to be spiritual. And my prayer is that God will continue to help us learn what that means. Jesus said in Matthew 25 that when you do these things, feed the hungry, care for the poor, you're doing it for the least of these. And remember, the least of these are not anyone who's less valuable. They're just more vulnerable. Finally, what does justice require of me? As we read a couple of scriptures about the poor and the hungry, I want you just to sit, kind of soak and simmer in scripture for a moment and just ask yourself, what do these scriptures require of me? Ask it in a personal way. The Bible talks a lot about caring for the poor. It's interesting, in this day and age, as a pastor, I find people kind of pick and choose what scriptures they want to live by. You know, which ones serve my narrative? Maybe it's a political narrative. Maybe it's this kind of narrative. You know, there's probably about 10 different things we could mention. People kind of pick and choose, and we all need to be wary of that. And we need to study the whole counsel of God. And none of us are 100% dialed in on this. We need to continue to grow. And when we think about these scriptures on the poor and the disenfranchised and the outcast, what is God saying to me, to us? How are we to respond? The work we do at the Compassion Center and as a church is an outflow of really taking these kind of verses very seriously. And we haven't arrived, but we're moving down the right road, moving in the right direction. We need to keep going and keep growing. Deuteronomy 15:11 says, there will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy. Proverbs 19:17 says, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. Proverbs 22:9 says, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Isaiah 58, verses 6 and 7. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide for poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Psalm 82:3 says, defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. And finally, Proverbs 14:31, he who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. You know, those are a lot of verses. And I know I speak for all of us when I say, you know, we can let those go in one ear and out the other and kind of dismiss it all. But as disciples of Jesus, our desire is to continue to grow, right? We want to live, love, and lead like Jesus. Amen? We want to continue to become the people He has called us to be. And one of the ways we do that is to act justly, to care for the oppressed, to care for the needy, to care for the disenfranchised, to overcome exploitation and the greedy ways of so many by showing compassion and empathy and justice. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, a lot to think about and chew on here today, but the message is simple. We want to be the people you describe in Micah 6:8. We want to act justly. So it's not just not doing the wrong things of injustice, such as manipulation and exploitation like the Israelites were doing. It's not enough just to stop that. We need to start being just, or grow in being more just, or continue growing in being just, caring for the poor, feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, clothing the naked, creating, developing, growing ministry that allows a safety net to be built to help protect and correct and kind of redirect people who need just a little bit of encouragement. Lord, we have been blessed to be a blessing. So I just pray in this moment, Lord, that you'll just speak to all of us personally, personally. And friends, I encourage you just to pray personally. God, what would you have me do? How can I grow? How can I take a step forward in being more just? Chances are there's no one here that would say I'm acting unjustly, but how can we ask justly? How can we care more for those who need more? I also pray, Lord, for everybody that's here today. The most important commitment any of us make is our commitment to Jesus. And friend, maybe you're here on this Father's Day and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to talk about caring for the poor and the orphan, the widow, and on, but if we don't know Jesus, if we haven't committed our life to Jesus and received the forgiveness of our sins, we kind of miss the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus came, he died on the cross to pay for our sins and give us the hope of everlasting life. And maybe today you'd like to commit your life to Jesus. Say, I want to come clean with God. Or maybe you'd like to recommit your life to Jesus. Would you just pray a simple prayer in your heart? Lord, I commit my life. I recommit my life to you. I want to grow in you. I want to follow you. I want to put you first. I want to live, love, lead like Jesus. And if you pray that prayer, would you tell me about it? Take that connection card. It's in front of you or online if you're watching online. And just fill that out. Drop it in the black box in the back wall as you leave. Lord, I pray for us individually and for as a church that you'll help us continue to grow in these areas, Lord, that Micah 6:8 talks about. Help us act more and more and more justly by caring for the oppressed, the poor, the hungry, the hurting. God, help us understand our social responsibility. We preach the gospel. We believe the gospel is the hope of the world. But part of the gospel includes caring for people deeply. And that eventually comes to the physical needs of people. God, you've planted us right here downtown. Downtown. Middle of Snohomish County, the county seat, right in the middle of the action. And that is an incredible privilege and an incredible responsibility to care for so many. Other churches have other responsibilities, whatever that might be, although we all have this responsibility to care for the poor. But Lord, us uniquely because of where we're located. And I just pray we live up, God, to your ideal. I pray that for me. I pray that for our entire church family. God, I also pray for the one that might be here today, say, you know, Pastor Rob, it's great to talk about caring for those that have a special need. I actually am one of those people. And Lord, I just pray your blessing on those that might feel that pinch here today. I pray, God, you'll give them the courage to reach out and give us the privilege, the honor of trying to come alongside and be just a little bit of an encouragement. We pray all these things, Lord, in your precious and holy name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.